Today's daf in Masechet Brachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Aleph. And if you don't mind, I'm sure you've already begun the perek on Lamed Amud Beis, but let's begin once again the perek on Lamed Amud Beis. And this is the perek of Ein Omdim Lehitpalel, which describes for us what is known as the state of Tefillah, I think is the best way to put it. Daniel asks that we should be learning for the schus of his father-in-law, Raul ben Rivka. Raul ben Rivka, nachon? Okay, and he needs refuah shleima on many levels. Bezrat Hashem b'meira. Okay, so we'll start at the Halakha and Mishnah to describe how it is that we are supposed to be, what state we're supposed to be in tefillah. Ein odim leitvalel ela mitoch koved rosh. We can't even get up to start davening unless we are in a proper state of mind. This proper state of mind, says Rashi, Kovid Rosh is not merely seriousness, but it's also hachna'ah. So it's a state of humility, and later on it adds that there should be also a state of eima, of fear. And therefore it's the exact opposite, as Rashi himself points out later, from the state of levity, taking things easy, everything's fine. The idea over here is that you're coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as we'll see. Chasidim HaRishonim HaYu Shohim Sha'a Achat Mitpalalim Kedei She'Yechavnu Libam La'Aviyem Shebashamayim. And indeed, the early Hasidim used to spend an entire hour. This Sha'a Achas does not mean a certain amount of time. It means literally used to spend an entire hour. We'll see that from the Gemara, where the Gemara actually analyzes the number of hours that they're going to have left in the day if they really spend an hour before and an hour after, as we see later on. So it means a literal hour. In order to be Mechavim Libam Laviyam Shebashamayim. Now, many of the Mefarshim bring that our minhag, because of that, has become to add all of the Psukei de Zimran to give us additional time before, and we say Ezu Mikomam for other reasons as well, as we'll see later on. And essentially, this really does take up an almost an hour, certainly rove of an hour, so that the time that we use for preparation is a time that allows us to be Mechavim Libam Laviyam Shebashamayim. What does that mean? So the Rambam paskens this halacha lemaisa in a very shocking way, which in fact changes the entire relationship that we have to tefillah. And he learns that the inyan that it's referring to over here is the kavana, which is the essence of the state of tefillah, which according to the Rambam means that he has to see himself as being omed lifnei hamakom. That's the real meaning of kovid rosh, seeing yourself as standing in front of God. According to the Rambam, this is not just the din kavana. This is the essence of the meaning of tefillah. And if you are not in that state, anything that you say is totally meaningless and has nothing to do with tefillah. So therefore, it's simply brachas levatala that you're wasting your time in saying because you're not talking to anybody. So why are you saying all of these weird brachas to the wall? And therefore, it changes completely. People think kavana and tefillah is to be thinking about what you're saying and so on and so forth. According to Rambam, that's not kavana and tefillah at all. Kavana and tefillah is the awareness of being in a state of tefillah. The question of whether you're being mechaving to what you're saying is minor and secondary, because the elements of tefillah is the fact that you're standing before HaMakom and able to speak to him. So that is what's taking you all of that time. Most people, as it turns out, do not daven at all, have never davened in their life, and don't even know what it means. So this was the way that the Reb Chaim brought out the whole din in the Rambam of Kavana. That's a totally different halacha than people believe. And this, the Rambam defines as Kavana, the Kavana Tatfila Ketzat, says the Rambam. That is the meaning of Kavana Tatfila. And this is something that indeed we can be mechavin for, even if it's difficult for us to pay attention to every word that we're saying. But the fact that we're being mispalel is something that is really a mind-blowing experience, and it's something that can be achieved for every single tefillah. It's simply a matter of taking seriously the din of seriousness, which is far more than seriousness, but placing yourself in reality, which is called hachna'a. Afilu ha-melech sho'el b'shlomo lo yashivenu, as opposed to what we saw before in Shema and Kriya Birchas Kriya Shema, even if a king interrupts your tefillah to ask how you are, which over there you're allowed to answer, over here you are not allowed to answer. Even if you've got a snake around your leg, do not be mafsik. Of course, the Gemara is going to discuss at what point this becomes an inyan of sakona. Where do we see that the state of mind is central to tefillah, and that it has to be in a state of hachna'a. Omar Rabbi Elazar, well, if we take a look at the tefillah of Chana, which is one of the most fundamental tefillahs that we have, and from which we're going to see later on that we learn a lot of Dina Melokha L'maisa, it defines Chana as being in a state of mind, which, why is that important? V'hi marat nefesh. So she was in a state of personal embitterment, which means that she certainly was not in a state of levity or of taking life easy. And therefore, that must be part of what the definition of that tefillah is. As the Gemara, well, how do you know that? I mean, the case of Chana is obviously unique in that sense because Dilma Chana Shani Da'avi Marira Libetuva. The point of Chana's entire coming in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu was because of the intensity of the bitterness of her experience. So it may not be central to tefillah overall. So that I am coming now to your house and I am in a state of awe and fear. Well, but that's David HaMelech. I mean, Dilma David Shani, David Mitzar Nafshi Barach Mituva. We understand that David speaks oftentimes of the unique intensity of his experience of tefillah, but how do we know that that's given in the definition of what tefillah is? Elohim Reb Yeshua ben Levi Mihocha. Hishtachavu LaHashem Behadrat Kodesh. Al tikri Behadrat Kodesh, Ela Becharadat Kodesh. So remember, as Tosis points out, this was the very mizmor that we used as the basis of saying Ovais and Gvurais and Kedushas Hashem and the Yudches Brochas are connected to Yudches Askoras. This is the Kol Hashem Alam. This is exactly where we would expect to talk about our relationship to the tefillah, not only the Kol Hashem that we're responding to. And over here it uses a Loshen of Hadar, which doesn't make any sense in terms of ourselves, does it? Hadrat Kodesh? I mean, it's the understandable that it would mean Charada. Well, how do you know? Maybe Hadrat Kodesh means beautiful. Maybe it means that to be in a state of tefillah, you have to be in a state of personal beauty. I mean, we do find such a halacha, Dilma Yola Memelacha Hadrat Mamash, because we find that Rabbi Yehuda, before he went to Davin, have a Mitzayah Nafshe, he would first make himself look beautiful. He would take a shower, he would get ready, he would put on beautiful clothing. You don't just walk into HaKadosh Baruch Hu with your pajamas, for God's sake. So maybe that's what it means. Maybe it means Behadrat Kodesh. What right do you have to say that it means more than that? So Avim Mitzayin V'Avim Mitzali. Elo Amrim Nachmura Yitzchak Mihocha. Ivdu Et Hashem B'Yir'ah V'Gilu B'Ra'ada. Avodas Hashem, as we know, La'avdo, is Tefillah, as we learn out in the Sifra. And therefore, it says that that avodah is, by definition, b'yirah. What is the meaning of v'gilu b'ra'adah? And you shall also take joy in trembling. My v'gilu b'ra'adah, omer v'ada b'matam o'rabah, b'makom gila sham tehei ra'adah. In a very place where you're feeling high, and you're feeling excited, and you're feeling very happy, there should be fear and trembling at the same time, because always you have to be in a state in which you're balanced between the immense joy of your existence and the chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does for you, and at the same time recognizing that profound humility and tension of how little it is that you deserve any of this that you have, and that because of that, your presence here is kulei matana, and therefore you feel always the sense of its gift and violation and surprise of what ought to be. Abaye have Yosef Kameh to Rabbah. In fact, Abaye was once sitting in front of Rabbah, and Rabbah was not very happy with Abaye. And Rabbah sees that Abaye seems to be like really high, very, very happy, doesn't seem to have any control on his emotions over here. Omar, so Rabbah says to him, excuse me, sir, v'gilu b'ra'adaktiv. I mean, you look like you're, you know, ready to just walk around feeling cool and easy, you know. Omar, how can that possibly be the way I look? Ana tefillin manachla, I am wearing tefillin. It's from here that the Rambam says the most incredible thing in Hilchas Tefillin, which is that the very fact that someone is wearing tefillin, not his kavana in tefillin, wearing tefillin, what is this no sound? Who says no sound? You got problems with the sound over there? I don't know. I don't know what to do for you. Somebody doesn't know how to use the unit over there, is it? Ay, ay, ay. Alon, maybe you can call and tell them what to do on the side over there. So the Rambam says the very fact that you are wearing tefillin, as you are wearing tefillin, you are a Yorei Shamayim. Arehu, you are a Yerusha. It's not that you have to think about being a Yerusha. That's what the tefillin do for you. Therefore, Taina Zabaya, even if I look like I'm an idiot, I guarantee you that anybody who looks at me wearing tefillin understands that HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Ema is on me by definition. So how can you say that I look bad? Rabbi Yirmiyah, you have to come into Rabbi Zera. And Rabbi Zera sees Rabbi Yirmiyah also is looking a little bit too high over here. Chazid avikobodach tuva. He seems to be, wow, whistling down the street. Amar le bechol etzev yehei motar. There's always something good about a little bit of tension and fear and sadness. Amar le, what do you mean, man? Anat filin anachnam. Well, how can you possibly think that I'm overdoing it over here? Mar berei de Ravina, avari lula livrei. He made this beautiful chasana for his wedding. And as usual, what happens with chasanas, he actually put up a bar, which might have been a bit of a mistake because there were a lot of yeshiva boys there. And we know what yeshiva boys do when they come to the bar. So Chazinu Rabbanu Davika Bat Chituva, he sees these guys, they seem to be like really going wild at the wedding. And he felt that this was mamish, a destruction of the whole ruach of the wedding. There was no seriousness, there was no depth. So he brings this Kasa de Mukra Bat Arba Me'azuz. He had this beautiful Ming vase, you know, which cost 400 zuz. Pay no attention to the Rashi that says Koshal Shkuchit Levana because it's a misnomered Rashi. They put the Dibra Matzal in the wrong Gemara. And he breaks this $400,000 Ming vase. He figured that'll make him sad. Ugh. Sure enough, Tova Kamayo Ve'atzivo, they felt awful. Rav Ashi once made a lula livrei, and he sees the Rabbanan are going wild at his wedding also. So he brought a kasa de zugita chivarta, which is what that Rashi is really going on, this expensive clear glass, and broke it in front of them, and that made them sad. The Rabbanan, when they were at the Rav Amnuna Zuti, when they were at the hilula of Mar Berei de Ravina, they asked Rav Amnuna to sing them a song. And Rav Amnuna noted that they were actually quite high and, you know, that it wasn't what they were usually. Come on, Rav Amnuna, sing us a song. Okay, boys, I'll sing you a song, all right. Vailan de Maitinan, Wotas, we're all dying. Right, so they say to us, so what's the refrain? What are we supposed to sing? So Manan Ebatrach, so he tells them, why don't you sing, and where's the Torah, and where's the mitzvahs that are supposed to save us from the face of hell? So, heim Torah ve'mitzvah de'meganu alan. Om Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, asur la'adam shimale sechok piv bo'olam hazeh, shenemar, az yimale sechok pinu u'lashonenu rina. A person is always supposed to be dreaming about the time when there will be the tremendous chok that we're waiting for. But until then, here there's a machlokas aposkim, whether this is a din, specifically because of the Churban HaBayis, and therefore it's like one of those takonas that after the Churban, it's also to be memalei tzchok. Memalei tzchok piv means to just let yourself go in laughter and in just the pure pleasure of whatever it is that you're doing. And then you lose your concentration about the terrible situation that we live in. And in fact, it's one of the most painful things to see as you walk down the street is groups of people that just think that life is something that they could just laugh and giggle and that there's nothing that they even have to worry about when the main content of our lives is missing, which is such a tragedy. And so because of that, it's also, but others learn that it's adin b'chlal in yirat shamayim, that since in olam hazeh it is so easy to lose track of what's important, to become involved in our physicalities and the needs of olam hazeh, so because of that, we should always focus on laughter, but it's the laughter that will be az yimalei schok pino, total laughter. Obviously, it doesn't mean not to laugh, but it means to be in a massive of total laughter and absolute joy in which there's no other concern, as if there's nothing on your mind at all. So therefore, when is that? Ematai? Bizman she yom ruagoyim, oz yom ruagoyim, yigdil Hashem lasotim eile. Omrualav, after Resh Lakish. Resh Lakish was quite a joker, as you know. I mean, he definitely knew how to fool around. But after he heard Rabbi Yochanan and his Rebbe say that halacha, they say about Resh Lakish that from that day on, miyamav lo milei schok pi bo'olam hazeh, michi sham ami Rabbi Yochanan Rabbi. From the minute that he heard that from Rabbi Yochanan and his Rebbe, he never ever let himself go totally again. Tana Rabbanan einam dim leitpalel lo mitoch din velo mitoch dvar halacha, elo mitoch halacha psuka. If you're learning and you're in the middle of giving even a din, so you're thinking about the issues in front of you, the witnesses in front of you, the tainas of the Baalei Dinim, Or you're simply arguing with Chavrusa and Dvar Halacha. That is no way for you to get up and daven, simply because your mind is going to be churning with thoughts. And you should not have something that is keeping your mind engaged in a way that prevents it from being totally conscious of Amida b'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, if you're going to be Omed, and you're not just in a state of Kovid Rosh, but you've been doing something, then that something should be Halacha Psuka. That's the way it seems to be said. We're going to see from the Mashmaut and the Gemara later on that actually what this means is that you should specifically be searching out this thing. And it doesn't mean if, but at this point, that's what it seems. So what is, when we say Halacha Psuka, what we mean is the type of Halacha that does not lead to thinking. Now, there are kinds of Halachas which there's nothing to discuss. And either there's nothing to discuss because the halacha makes absolutely no sense and therefore makes no difference, such as our first example, Ki hada Rabbi Zera, the Yomer Rabbi Zera, benot Yisrael chmiru al atzvam shafilu ra'ot tipat dam kechardal yoshvot al hashivat nekiyim. So we learned the entire Masechet Nida in order to get to this example of what halacha psuka is. And man, oh man, you can really get it when you finish Masechet Nida. There you have, you've been sitting over there for months banging your head against the wall to understand all of these complicated dinim, and then you finally come out of the whole Masechet, as the Gemara points out over there and says, all you get out of this whole Masechet is this one thing that makes no sense anyway, which is that no matter what, women are going to have to sit Shivas the Kiyam on a drop of blood, which is madness. But okay, I mean, if that's the way it is, it's certainly not going to be Matrid your Machshava, because there ain't nothing to think about. So that would be one example of Halacha Psuka. Another example of Halacha Psuka would be something that is so well developed and has been so often stated in various ways in Mishnayos and so on and so forth, that there really isn't anything to discuss. Nobody's got any kashas, nobody's got any turutim. And therefore, even though it may in fact be based on all sorts of prior issues that you have to know, it's still called Halacha Psuka. So that would be not like what Rabbi Zera says, but as Rava points out, Rava Makyoda Riva Oshaya, Dem Riva Oshaya, Ma'arima Damat Vuato, Umachnisa B'mot Shalah, Kadesha Tepoem To Ochelo Tupturah Minam Aser. Now, actually, this is quite a complex halacha. This halacha is based on the Yisod that something which was not Raya Pnei Abayit is not yet Chayev and Trumas HaMaisras. And in order to be Raya Pnei Abayit, it has to be Dagan. But to be Dagan, it had to have already gone through winnowing. Otherwise, it's not really Dagan. It's still raw Tvua. And the thing is, the Rabbanan, however, asserted to utilize something in a Kavua fashion, even if it had not as yet gone through the Gemar Malacha and the Kviyas of Raya Pnei Abayit. However, feeding an animal is ipso facto not considered to be kavua. So putting all of those things together, it means that if you're interested in having grain available to feed your animal, you can actually bring it into the house without doing the winnowing, and that way you could feed it to your animal because then it would still be considered to be a arai instead of a kva. Now, there's nothing much to discuss about here, but this is a heck of a lot more complicated than Rabbi Zera's example. Another example is V'ibay Semek Yad Rav Huna. Now, the meaning of Rav Huna, as an example, is that it's quite surprising. It's a halacha that strikes you first as making no sense, and nonetheless, once you got it, you got it, and because of that, it's also considered to be a halacha psuka that is not going to be matrid your machshava. And what is that, Maimer? The Omer Rav Huna Omer B'Zeira, Hamekiz Dam B'Veimat Kodashim, Asur Bahana'a, and you're even more limbo. So we know, we just got out of this when we did our kochim, is that there is no din of me'ila on dam. Why? Because it says in the Torah, Vanina tativ lechem lechaper. From there we learn lechaparade tativ velo lemi'ila. So it strikes you, what if you took out blood as part of a medical procedure from an animal, that blood you would be chayva me'ila, I would think maybe midrabbana. No, molim bo min chayva korba me'ila, and it's mamash diraisa. So this, like, whoa, what does that mean? And then you suddenly realize, yes, because the only din of dam not being available for me'ila is where the dam is roy to be put on the mizbeach. Anina tativ lacham lachaper. That's dam shchita. That's not the dam that you took your animal to the local kupat cholim laboratory. And therefore, that dam, in fact, is part of the animal itself. And because of that, you're chayav me'ila just like anything else. So a surprising halacha is also considered to be halacha psuka, as Rav Huna brings out over here. Now, actually, the minhag became that the Rabbanan, they were avdei kamat nitin. And the kamat nitin means that bekoved rosh, which means that they used their own consciousness to try to create the state of tefillah. Whereas Rav Ashi, avid kibraita, and the braita said you should use a inyan of halacha psuka. So apparently from this Gemara, these were actually two different hanhogas of how it is you should search out halacha. Now, it may well be that if you're capable of doing a pure consciousness as the work of hachana for tefila, maybe that would be okay. And maybe these are different madrigas of the individuals. It's not clear from here. We paskin both, of course, and that there's no real stira between them, although many, the Mishnah Berurah seems to take it for granted that there is an element of stira. Tana Rabbanan Einam Dim Leitpalel Lo Mitoch Hatzvut Velo Mitoch Hatzlut Velo Mitoch Schok Velo Mitoch Sicha Velo Mitoch Kalut Rosh Velo Mitoch Dvarim Betelim Ela Mitoch Simcha Shel Mitzvah. You are not allowed to get up to daven in a state of depression, in a state of feeling just lazy and lackadaisical. And in fact, somebody who davens and yawns during his davening and makes himself be bored, it says, Alava katuf omer, lo ti karata Yaakov. You're not talking to me, Yaakov. What a bizoyan. And lo mitoch schok, not sitting around with cheap laughter. Lo mitoch sicha. Sicha means just talking about stupid things that are meaningless and not any type of levity of kalus rosh or dvorim betelum, or even if it's not literally levity, but it's just empty issues such as who won the Super Bowl. Ela mitoch simcha shel mitzvah, it should be something that has to do with divrei Torah. It doesn't mean simcha shel mitzvah, which usually means asiyas mitzvah, but simcha that comes from learning inyonim of mitzvah. V'chein lo yipoter adam b'chaveiro, but this is not only about the connection that we have to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but so beautifully, it's about the connection that we have to each other. And when a person is saying goodbye to a friend, that's a serious moment, and that's a moment of deep connection. And one should not say goodbye. Lo mitoch sicha, v'lo mitoch schok, v'lo mitoch kalus rosh, v'lo mitoch dvarim betelim. The same thing is true of saying to a friend goodbye, except that over here you can be in the middle of a dvar halacha. It doesn't have to be a dvar halacha psuka. Because on the contrary, if it's a dvar halacha, then the very fact that your mind continues to churn about what it is that you were discussing with each other means that you're in touch with your friend over a longer period of time, and the discussion with him is retained in your mind. And this is what we find. Neviim Rishonim does not mean Neviim Rishonim, by the way, here. It means the early prophets, not the early versus the later, but rather the prophets that Klal Yisrael used to have. As we find that all of these inyanim end with things that are profound and that are comforting. V'chein Tatosis brilliantly says over here that even though this is not really true, and because as the Yerushalmi brings out, ki ima'as ma'astono is the end of Eicha, or what about, Tatosis adds, well, what about in Koheles, you know? Elokim yeviyacha b'mishpat, im tov v'im ra. I mean, that doesn't sound so good. But it means, as long as it's not the inyanim of Pur'anut Yisrael, anything that is teaching us to how to grow, and it's not talking about chas v'shalom something bad happening, but how to avoid something bad happening, including what Moshe just pointed out in the chat over here, penovov ve'katar tzcherem, and so on. All of that is not considered to be something bad. That's simply something good. That's choshev b'tov, b'divrei tanchumim. Because it's Lomayr bepuranut de Yisrael, as Tosis points out. Okay, back to the Gemara. So this is true about a friend as well. V'chein tona, mori bar bereid, ravuna bereid, ravirme baraba, al yipater adam michaveiro lo mitoch dvar halacha, shemitoch kach zochrehu. In fact, over here it should be a dvar halacha, and not a dvar halacha psuka. And this way, you will remember each other deeply, because you will always be thinking about the words, the last words between you. Ki Oder Rav Kahana, this is a beautiful story within a story. I mean, it's absolutely stunning. Ki Oder Rav Kahana, Alvayel Rav Shimi Bar Asher, Vipum Nahara Ad Beitzinit to the Bava. Now, Rav Kahana walked Rav Shimi Bar Asher, and he was malave him all the way from the town of Pum Nahara till the place that was called Beitzinit to the Bava, which were the famous palm trees of Bava. And when they arrived there, Kimata Lahatam Omalei Mar, he said to him, Rebbe, is it really true? That these trees have been here from the time of Adam Arishon until today? So he said to him, oh man, you just reminded me something, beautiful thing. You know what that means? The saying is true, but it doesn't mean it the way you're taking it. It's not literal. Now, can you tell me what that pasuk is supposed to mean? A land where no human ever walked and no man ever settled. What does that mean? I mean, obviously, if nobody ever walked there, I mean, so clearly nobody ever settled there. Ella, it means like this. A land where no man walks is a place where no Adam ever said there should be men. And this teaches us, Lo malacha kol oretz shegazar alei Adam HaRishon liyishuv nityashva, v'chol eretz shelo gazar alei Adam HaRishon liyishuv lo nityashva. What this means is that the vision of the original human who represents the species as a whole and looked out at the earth to view history and the Sifra Shel Adam HaRishon, any land that did not strike him as being a place for terraforming never became a place where people would settle. But wherever he dreamt of settlement, in the course of history, that place became settled. Now, this is an amazing commentary on the nature of Levaya itself, because that means that it was the thought of Adam that is Malava from the very beginning, everything that humanity does. And it's part of the deep sense of how Levaya relates to Yipater Adam Michaveiro, which relates to Mitoch Kach Zochrehu, so that it's a story of the physical Levaya to discover the nature of Levaya in order to teach us what it means in leaving your friend with something to think about. So this is certainly the ultimate something to think about, which Adam HaRishon has given us all. This is very, very beautiful. Rav Mordechai, Alvei l'Rav Shimi bar Ashi, mihagruni avad bekipe, v'amrilei ad beidura. And he was malave him all the way. These are very long pathways, even though we don't have any recording of particular divrei Torah. The Levoy itself was important. Tona Rabbona, ha-mitpalel tzarich shechaven et libo la-shamayim. Abba Shaul omer, siman ledavar, tachin libam, takshiv oznecha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you help people to be able to concentrate their hearts, then you'll be able to listen to their tefillah. And this way, if they don't have anything on their hearts taking them away from tefillah, you have helped them to daven. Tanya Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Kacha Yimenoga Shur Rabbi Akiva. Everything is contextual. The state of tefillah could be a state of tefillah for you when you are alone. And then there's the state of tefillah when you're with other people and need to take into consideration the Beit HaKnesset around you. And that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva was like. When he used to be mitpalel im atzibur, and everybody would wait until Rabbi Akiva finished davening, he couldn't afford to give himself the time to tefillah. So ayam mikatzer va'olem mipnei torach tzibur. U'kisha ayam mitpalel beino levein atzmo. But if Rabbi Akiva was davening on his own, oh my God, adam enicho bezavit zo motzo bezavit acheret. You would find, leave him in one corner, and you'd come back an hour later, and he'd be in a completely different part of the room. Because he was so deeply involved in his tefillah, and every time he was mispal, every time he was mishtachav, at Tosfos points out, you're not allowed to be mishtachav at the end of any other bracha, only the ones in which we, Chazal were koveya. And because of that, he brings the sum of the Balei Tosfos tainted that this was not in his own tefillah. Was talking about the Tachanunim after the tefillah, which Tosfos says does not make any sense. The whole point of the Gemara is that it's telling you how to be mispal. And because of that, he brings the Riz Pshat that you're not allowed, it's true, you're not allowed to be mishtachav at the end of a bracha, but you are allowed to be mishtachav and depend in the middle of a bracha. And towards the end, you'd have to pop up. And that's exactly what was happening with Rabbi Akiva. The depth of his hachna and his giving himself over to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, his lying down on the ground and groveling and begging and so on, and then jumping up afterwards, and every time he would move, and he would move 5 feet, and so by the end of the time, he could have been 200 feet away from where you had left him, and he wouldn't have been aware of the fact. And that, again, is contextual. He wouldn't do that when there were people around that he was going to bother, that they would have to sit around waiting for him. Beautiful. Another very important thing is that you have to pray in a home that has windows. We find that Daniel had windows specifically opened in his upper chamber in the Aliyah where it says he used to daven. And you might think that you should daven all day long. Kvar mefurash ayadei Daniel. Vizimnim tlata, three times a day. What about Rabbi Yochanan, who says that halavayshit palel adam kolayom kulo? We actually pask in these two alochas alocha lamaisa. If you've already said the tefillah, you're not allowed to be moshiv a tefillah without being adding something in the tefillah. So you need to be mechadish to a davar, and then that becomes a tefillah sendava, which what Rabbi Yochanan was referring to. Halavay should be mitpalel kolayom kulo. But if you've already been yotze your tefillah, then to just go and to add tefillahs is prohibited without being moshiv. So therefore, it says over here, dafka zimnim tlata, yachom ishebalach hola, huchla. You might think that this minag of Daniel, where he was makpan, he actually risked his life to daven three times a day and opened up windows towards Yerushalayim, and opening up those windows exposed him to his enemies, who actually took pictures of him and showed it to the king, because Daryovish had answered any type of tefillah, and you're not allowed to daven to anybody except him. And they proved that he was a no-goodnik, and because of that, he got thrown into the lion's den. So this is bad news, but it didn't matter. He opened up those windows anyway. So you might think that this was something that he did only from the time that he came to the Galut, but as long as he was in Eretz Yisrael, as long as it was a Beis HaMikdash, and he wasn't so brokenhearted, that he didn't use to daven because he was Seimech on just the Shechina that was Sheir in Eretz Yisrael. No. It says, Beferish, in that Pasuk, Di'avi Avid bin Kadmat Dina. This is what he used to do even from before. Yochel yitpalel adam l'chol ruach sheyirtze. You might think you can face wherever you want. Talmud Lomer, no neged Yerushalayim. These windows were open in order to be able to be mechaven his das and to send his mind forward towards Yerushalayim. Yochel yekol olam bevatachat. You could do all three at the same time, because it says zimnin tlata kvar mefurash hayadei David dechiv erev vavoker v'tzohorayim. Yochel yashmiya kolo betvilato, that you should raise your voice. Ah. We did not hear her walk. You might think that you should first ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Atachonein le'adam das, and help me, and therefore I will be ready to daven in front of you. And now that I'm ready to daven in front of you, Baruch Ata Hashem, Eloi Avraham, Eloi Yitzchak, Eloi Yaakov, and I can be mesaper the shevach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu after I already was zeicha to HaKadosh Baruch Hu's help. No. Kvar mefurash hayadei shelo Moshe nemar lishmoa el harina. Now, in that context, if you take a look at the beginning of the pasuk, as Marsha points out, it's quite clear that the rina that's referring to over here is the songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which is the essence of the tvila of shevach and hodorah. Masha Einkein, the lotion of the tvila per se in here is bakasha. And therefore, you say your bakasha after you say your shevach. And ein omer bakasha emet v'yatziv, do not insert your own tefillahs before you get to the tefillah Shmona Esrei. So you're in the middle of the Emes V'Yatziv. Do not put in any tefillahs for yourself. You wait until you say the Birchas HaShevach, and you daven according to the way that Chazal were betaken, the 19 brochas. But after you finish, even if you want to speak for 2 hours, like you were saying, Vido Yom HaKippurim, as long as it's after the closing of the tefillah, and the Gra understands this to mean after the Yilor Atzonim Refi Yonibi Lefanecha, which Chazal Berkaveh is the end of the tefillah, that then you can say as much as you want. By the way, the Gra is another beautiful pshat in this sugya, which is he points out when it says that the Chasidim HaRishonim are Yushoin Sha'a Achat Umit Palalim Kodem Letfilah. It's very weird. Because, I mean, it should have said, and then mitpalalim, not shoin sha'achatu mitpalalim. So he learns that what it means is that they use that hour to daven, that they should be able to daven. So part of their hachana for the tefillah was the tefillah for tefillah, which we are mekayim. How are we mekayim? Hashem svatai tiftachu fi agiti latecha. That takes that place of that tefillah, according to the Gra. Okay, anyway, back to our achar hatfila. Now, what about it? My name Yom Reb Chibar Asher Marav Afa Pisha Amru Shoel Adam Tzrachav VeShomei Atfila. Even though you're allowed to ask for things during Shomei Atfila, but asking for things is not going to town and talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu about all your tzoras, you know. So Im Balomar Achar Tfilato Afilu Keseder Shomei Kippurim Omer. If you want to not be zohir and to be able to speak and to talk out your heart, that is not for shomea tefillah. That is for after the tefillah. Omer Rav Amnuna, oh my God, look at how many incredibly important halachot we learn out just from reading the psukim about Chana's tefillah. Let me go through some of them with you so you get an idea, says Rav Amnuna. Look, it says, okay, so that means that her main focus was her heart. She throws her heart into it. You see from here that you must move your lips. You don't just, you actually have to be choteich b'sfatav. Move the lips according to the words, as if you were making sounds. However, v'kola lo yishama, you don't hear the sounds. Mikan shasur lagbil kolo b'tvila. And then it says, v'yachshaveh eli l'shikora, and therefore he was outraged. So that must be mikan shishikora asur leitpalel. You see from here that indeed she would have been doing something wrong had she davened as a shikora. V'yomer eleha eli, ad matai tishtachrin. Omar Rabbi Elazar, mikan l'ro'eh b'chaveiro. Somebody sees a friend doing something that is inappropriate. Davar she'eino hagun. Now this is not mamish osir, and there is nowhere that he would expect that Chana would have learned somewhere that if you're high, you shouldn't be davening. Nonetheless, because it wasn't hogun, he felt that even under the circumstances, you should say something. You know, very often when somebody's in a matzav that, you know, something is really shikr, I mean, is that the time really to tell him? But you see from here that you have to respond to something that's inappropriate. And then vatan Chana vatomar, lo Adoni. What's it? Lo Adoni. She should have said, Adoni, lo. What do you mean, lo Adoni? Ella, it means like this. She was saying to him in as nicest way she could, you ain't no Adon to me, mister. Lo Adoni. So she's like telling him, sir, she's saying, no, sir, are you? Rather than, no, sir. So she was saying, you are really messed up. Lo Adona Tapadavar said, you're obviously not speaking from Ruach HaKodesh the way you're supposed to as a Kohen Gadol. V'lo Ruach HaKodesh shoreh alecha shata choshdeni b'davar zeh. Why the heck are you cursing me like this? Ikri Amri Achi Amra Lai. Lo Adonata? She was saying it nicer than that. She was saying it as a question. Gee, aren't you supposed to be Mr. Big Sir? I mean, don't you have the Shechina? Don't you have Ruach HaKodesh? How is it that you should possibly have said something so stupid? Shedantani lekav chova velo dantani lekav zechut. Couldn't you have seen that there's a way to look at me that I'm not drunk? Milo yadata dishak shat ruach anochi is the famous pshat also of the Gra that what she was pointing out was that Eli had misused his urim v'tumim and he had not used ruach hakodesh because in order to know what she was, he looked at the urim v'tumim. And sure enough, he saw the letters light up, which were the letters of Shin Chof Resh Hey. Ah, says he, Shikora. No, says she, Kishera. Ha, ha, ha. So therefore, you're not using your Ruach HaKodesh properly if that's how you read those letters. It's very cute. Anyway, you see from here that she says, Yain v'shechar lo shatiti, amineshek shad ruach, omer abelozim mikam l'nech shad b'davar she'in bo. That your person should not just sit back and say, okay, if that's what you want to think of me, that's what you want to think of me. No. You have to tell the person that he's wrong. Another thing we learn from here. Somebody who's davening in a state of shikrut is as if he's oveda vodazara. Because she says, your very thought about that makes me a bat b'li'al. And that is a code word for Avodah Zarah. Just like over there, it's referring to Beisit Umediach, Malalan Avodah Zarah, Afkan Avodah Zarah. Vayan Eli Vayomar Lechi L'Shalom. So you see from here, Omar Rabbi Elazar Mikan L'Choshet Et Chaviro B'Davar She'in Bo. If you were Choshet someone and it wasn't correct, Tzorich L'Faiso. You have to make them feel like, oh, okay, it's really, everything should be good, everything will be fine. You even have to give her a bracha, because after Eli told her, L'chila shalom, he gave her a bracha, and he said, Elohei Yisrael, yitena tshelatech, v'tidor neder v'tomar Hashem tzvakot. Now, in the discussion with Chana, in her tefillah itself, we're given all types of insights that also teach us many inyanim of how to be mispala. And we note, just like we did at the, unbelievably almost, that just as we noted at the beginning of the Masechet, that we trace the way that the human relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in terms of Emunah develops gradually throughout the Dereis, that there was a point at which no one had ever called HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon. There was a point at which no one had ever been Modeh at HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And these were moments in history that became forever enshrined. One of those moments was Chana. And as Rabbi Elazar points out, from the day of creation, Miyom Shibara Kadosh Baruch Hu Talomo, Lo Haya Adam Shikara Ola Kadosh Baruch Hu Tzivaot, Ad Shibat Chana Vekara Tot Tzivaot. She was the first person who said those words, Hashem Tzivakot. What did she mean? Amra Chana Lifnei Kadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam, Mikot Tzivei Tzivaot Shibarata Baolamcha. You've created a world of endless galaxies and unbelievable phenomena, and you can't afford like a little bit of a son for me, you know? Kashe beinecha shititen li ben echad. Mashal amad davar domel lemelech baser v'adam she'asas se'udah la'avadav. Here's a king, and he's surrounded by 100,000 people in the world's greatest party. Ba ani echad v'yamad ala petach. And he says to the people at the door, can you give me a slice of bread? Nobody paid any attention. So the guy pushes himself in. He comes up to the melech and says, ani ha'melech, this is a heck of a party, man. So this is what Chana was saying. Oh my God, what a party this creation is. Nu, how about a little boy for me? I'm warning you right now. If you do things my way and you see things my way, okay, I'll let you off. But im love, if you're not going to listen to me, oh my God, tir air, oh, you're going to see what I'm going to do to you. I'm going to go and start making out with somebody in front of Elkanah, my husband. The moment that I go into a place in private, he's going to say, oh man, he's going to have to give me the mesota. Now, what are you going to do about that, huh? I atau setor atcha plaster. I mean, you're not going to make a joke out of your Torah. It says in the Torah that v'nikta v'nizra azera. And that if I was actually innocent and I drank from the mesota, then it's going to turn me into a fertile woman and I will have children. So then you'll have no choice but to give me children. So how do you want to handle this? You want to handle it my way or you want to handle it the hard way? Wait a minute, but not everybody agrees to that. That's only good according to the Mandiyom and Echelman Yom and Takara Nifkedet, that if the woman never had children before, she will now become fertile. That shopper. Then that's a good threat. Alalmandi Amraita, Yoledet Bitsar, Yoledet Berevach, Bekevot, Yoledet Zecharim, Shechorim, Yoledet Levanim, Kitsarim, Yoledet Aruchim, that if she had difficult births, she'll have easy births. If she had females, she'll have males. If she would have dark skin, she'd have light skin. If she had short kids, she'd have tall kids. I mean, but that doesn't mean she's going to be able to become fertile. Ma'ikal Amema. Where do we see that? Machlokas the Tanya Veniknevet, Zerazer Malamashi Maitakara Nifkedet Iveri Bishmo. Whereas Rabbi Akiva pointed out, well, then everybody's going to do what Chana does. Ken yochu kol ha'akarot kolam v'istatru v'zor shelo kiu kolad nifkedet. That's crazy. Emalamich, he might tell yoledet b'tzar, yoledet b'revak, tzarim, yoledet aruchim, shechorim, yoledet levanim, achad, yoledet shnayim. She's going to have multiple births. So then according to Rabbi Akiva, why is she threatening HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Imro Otireh? No, you know, chinami. According to Rabbi Akiva, we'll have to say Dibrat Torah v'shom b'nei Adam. If you shall surely see. Bo'oni amatecha, al tishkach et amatecha. Why does she mention Amatcha three times? Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Chanina, the lashon of Amatcha is also a lashon of death, mita. So she said, Shalosh Amatot alololam, Amra Chanan ifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shel Olam. There are three things that are bitke mita barata be'isha, three issues that could cause, chas v'chalila, a woman to die. Amra la shalosha divke mita, three things that attach her to death. That's not being careful about nida, not being careful about chala, and not being careful about hadlakat aner. Kluma varti ala achat mehen? Do you have any reason to say that I don't deserve the best? V'natata l'amatcha zera anashim. What does zera anashim mean? Human children? I mean, I should hope so. What is she saying? I shouldn't have any monkeys. My zera anashim. Omar Rav, it means a gavra beguvrin, a person that stands out really roy to be a human being. Shmuel says, no, it means the type of human that is mosheach shnei anashim. Shaul and David. I want a son that has an incredible future of creating Malachim. Rabbi Yochanan says, a son who in fact is Shakul Kishnei Anashim. Who is the man that's worth two of somebody else? Moshe v'Aaron b'chayanav, v'shmuel b'kar shema k'rei shema. So the child that she wanted was Shmuel. V'rabbonin amrei, Zera Anashim means exactly the opposite. Zera Anashim means an unobtrusive child. Shemuvla ben Anashim, she wants him to be a Minyan boy. Just nothing that sticks out. Ki Atar of Dimi Amar, he shouldn't be too tall and he shouldn't be too short. He shouldn't be thin and he shouldn't be fat. He shouldn't be dark. He shouldn't be pale and he shouldn't be all ruddy. He shouldn't be too smart and he shouldn't be too dumb. And that's exactly, as we'll see, what she got. Ani ha'isha ha'nitzevet bazeh imachem bazeh. Omer Rebbe Yeshua ben Levi mikan shasur leshev betoch arba amot shal tefillah. Tos is a medayak that the word is from imcha. What is imcha with a hey at the end? It should say imcha, just ayin mem chaf is imcha. So that means imcha, I only stood next to you within chamisha amot, and not within arba amot. So you see from here, you're not allowed to sit within four amos of somebody who's davening, another halacha that people ignore terribly, in which it's an iser gomer to be sitting down next to somebody who's davening, is even those who taina that even if that person is davening while you're already sitting down, you'd be mechuyev to get up. Well, that's machlokes. But certainly it's kedai to do that, as the Mishnah Berurah points out. That's the correct hanhaga. And this is something that people pay no attention to. They think they can sit next to people. They can babble and they can look at their cell phones and drive people crazy, which makes it almost impossible to daven in a Beit HaKnesset anymore because of ignoring this single halacha. This we learn out also from Chana. El Hanar Hazeit Palalti. This is the child that I prayed for. Amar Rabbi Elazar Shmuel was a Meira Halacha B'fnei Rabbi. He was a bad boy. There he was, 3 years old, and he paskin halacha in front of Eli. So Shenemar v'yishchetu et ha'par v'yaviu et ha'nar el Eli. Can you tell me what the heck that's supposed to mean? They shechted the par that they had brought, and then they brought the boy to Eli. What? Mishum de v'yishchetu et ha'par v'yaviu et ha'nar el Eli. What does one have to do with the other? So clearly what had happened was that Eli had told them, bring a kohen so that we could come and do shechita. So Chazino Shmuel, and Shmuel is sitting there, and he sees, what the heck's going on over here? Everybody's running around looking for a kohen for shechita. So Shmuel says to them, excuse me, gentlemen, but what the heck are you doing? Isn't shechita kosher bizarre? So they grabbed the kid, and they said, this kid is a smart aleck. I told the kami to Eli. So Eli said to him, how do you know that? He said, what do you mean? It's a pasuk. It doesn't say v'shochata kohen. It says v'ikrivo ha-kohanim, which means only from Kabbalah Sadam ve'elech, is the mitzvah of kunav, which means clearly that shechita is kshera bizarre. Says Eli to him, you're a heck of a smart kid, aren't you? You're a little bit too smart for your britches. Meimer shapraka amrit, miru mora halacha b'fnei rabcha at. However, you got to learn to shut your little mouth when you're in front of your Rebbe. And even though, as Tosfos points out, you haven't learned anything from me yet, and I'm not yet your Rebbe, but I am the Gadol Hador, and you did come here to learn from me, and therefore, you got a heck of a lot of chutzpah. I think we need to replace you, actually. Because kol ha'mora halacha b'fnei rabo chayav mita. So Chana hears that they're about to finish off for a kid that she's been praying for, and she comes running, v'katzavcha coming, no, ani ha'isha nitzevati mecham v'zeh, how can you do that? Omar Lutz says, Eli, what's the problem? Kids are highly overrated. Let me get rid of this one. I'll get you a better one. What do you want a kid that's got all these kinds of problems? This is not the right kind of kid. I'll get you a better kid. And it was at that point that she said, no. And I yelled at Zayn Palti, I want this kid. Okay, gentlemen, that's wonderful.